In the studio with us now, movie Mike McCranahan is back. His appearances are always sponsored by the Campus Theater, campustheater.org. If you want to look them up, if you want to look him up on Twitter, do as I do. He's got, he's got great tweets, at Aisle Seat, his website, aisleseat.com. Mike McCranahan is back. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks. Always fun to be here.
I appreciate that. Birds of Prey.
Margot Robbie returns as the popular DC villain in Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn. Yes, that's the full title. Harley is newly separated from boyfriend the Joker and eager to make her own mark in Gotham City. Long story short, she teams up with nightclub singer Journey Smollett-Bell, crossbow assassin Mary Elizabeth Winstead, and police detective Rosie Perez to take down crime lord Ewan McGregor. In the DC Comics, Harley Quinn has always liked to create chaos, and Birds of Prey honors her by being an intentionally chaotic movie. It's got colorful visuals, flashy editing, sarcastic voiceover narration from the main character, and a story that occasionally pauses itself for some kind of funny detour. You also get a handful of awesomely outrageous action sequences powered by a hip soundtrack of female artists. The wacky style is fun because you genuinely don't know what's going to happen from one second to the next. At the center of it all is Margot Robbie, giving a brilliant, fully committed performance. She makes Harley hilarious and tough, but also a bit sympathetic. Joaquin Phoenix may have just won an Oscar for playing Harley's ex, but Robbie's the one who deserves awards. Birds of Prey feels like no other comic book film. Here are 109 of the most unabashedly enjoyable minutes you'll have at the movies this year. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 3.5 Suicide Squads.
Oh my gosh.
I love this movie. I gotta tell you, Mark, I never go see movies twice in the theater. Never. Mm-hmm. I saw this movie twice in 5 days.
Wow. Okay. And what? Why? I mean, you summarize that, of mm-hmm. course, she's the glue that really seals everything. Mm-hmm. But those are all good parts she's gluing together.
Yeah, this movie is just a lot of fun. And there's so much happening in it that you almost have to see it twice just to get all the little jokes and the little asides and the little references. It was one of those movies that just made me happy. I saw it on Friday last week. I said, wow, I can't wait to see this again. And I went a few days later and enjoyed it just as much the second time. So it's just a really fun comic book movie that does not feel like any other comic book movie. And that's what's great about it.
And that compelled you to put in the remark about the sarcastic voiceover that really keeps the pace going?
Yeah, she does a witty narration where she comments on what's happening in the story, and there are times that graphics and drawings pop up on the screen to highlight something. It just has this really kind of funky, fun style to it.
And it's an imaginative. I mean, mm-hmm. for DC, we always think of sort of that semi-animated thing that's going to be sort of supernatural or not technically possible, I guess, in real life, but they take it another step.
Yeah, I mean, this movie's pretty out there, which is part of the appeal of it. You know, even the best comic book movies these days sort of feel a little bit safe because there's a template that has worked very well, and the studios, Marvel and DC, tend to be very cautious about working outside of that template because they know there's a lot of money to be made in these films. This movie says, forget the template. We're going to be our own thing. It doesn't feel like it's been, you know, tinkered with by executives to death. It just feels like it's its own being, and I love that about it.
Okay, and it's not a Joker sequel per se. It has
no.
its own pace, its own cast, its own shtick. I mean, it's
right. She played Harley Quinn in Suicide Squad, but there's no other connection between the two movies. You don't need to have seen any other movie to appreciate this one.
Right, and is it animated per se? I watched the trailer. I think some is, some isn't, for lack of a better description.
There is an animated sequence at the beginning of the film that kind of brings you up to speed on Harley Quinn if you're not too familiar with her. Other than that, it's all live action.
Okay, it's her doing all this performing. Mm-hmm. Well, you are a Women in Cinema advocate. Did you see something that sort of helps that brand?
Absolutely, and I couldn't quite figure out how to work it into my formal review and still say everything else. But what's great about this movie is that all of the four main female characters in some way or another are attempting to step out of the shadow of a man. Harley has dated the Joker for a long time. They've broken up. She wants to be seen as her own person and not just Harley's girlfriend. The Rosie Perez character is a police detective who made a big bust, but a male colleague took the credit for it. The other two characters also have their own issues. So the movie is really about women looking for emancipation, women looking to kind of step out and be seen for themselves and for their own talents and not being defined by a man.
And why? I already know the answer to this because I give out so few of them.
Mm-hmm. That's the answer, yeah.
Okay. Sorry, why not a four?
Yeah, I mean, I say by four so that when I give it, you know it really means something.
Okay.
But, yeah, this is close. If I could give 3.75 stars, I would give it to this.
All right, and then the beginning of a franchise. Might I just want to be sure that I catch this so that I get the next one and the next one?
I hope that they will make more. Margot Robbie is going to reprise this character in the next Suicide Squad movie, so we're not done with Harley Quinn. Whether they will follow up with another Birds of Prey movie or not depends on how well this one does. It did okay its opening weekend. It didn't do as well as superhero movies generally do, but it's a tougher sell. It's rated R. I think it might need a little time to catch on, so we'll see. But we're definitely not done with Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn.
Sleeper hit potential?
I hope so. I really hope people go and see this. I think you're going to have a very good time.
How's it doing on Rotten Tomatoes and some of the other sort of major review places?
Great reviews. Yeah, I think it was in the 90s on Rotten Tomatoes, including my own review.
Okay.
So, you're doing very well with us critics.
And with the audiences, you said sort of a slow start at the box office?
A slower start at the box office. Suicide Squad was PG-13 and was very popular with teenagers. This movie is rated R, and it is violent. So I think the R rating may have hurt this a little bit. Some of those teenage fans couldn't get into this one. But my hope is that people will check it out, or that teenagers who are, 15, 16 years old might find another way to get in.
Okay, so the Joker.
Legally, appropriately.
Well, they'll
find,
see it.
Find a sympathetic adult.
They'll see it one way or another.
You, right.
It's hopeless. Birds of Prey, all about the Jokers. X 3.5
Suicide Squads.
Suicide Squads, of course, that great, great movie that she was in. So, all right, fabulous. New movies coming out. What is coming out this week?
Yeah, it's a big weekend. We have five new movies opening locally, starting with Sonic the Hedgehog, which is based on the popular video game franchise about a really fast hedgehog. This one stars James Marsden and Jim Carrey as Sonic's famous nemesis, Dr. Eggman. The next one's really intriguing. sorry, I had to cough there.
Okay.
Fantasy Island. This is a horror adaptation of the popular 70s TV show. Remember Fantasy Island?
Sure.
Yeah. Well, they've turned it into a horror movie. Michael Peña plays Mr. Rourke, but there is no tattoo in this movie.
What?
I know. That was my reaction, too. I don't know how you make Fantasy Island without tattoo, but they've done it. We have The Photograph, in which a photograph tucked away in a safe deposit box sends a woman on a journey into her mother's early life and ignites a powerful, unexpected romance with a rising star journalist. So obviously that fills the Valentine's Day requirements. Last Full Measure is a war movie that tells the true story of a U.S. Air Force medic who personally saved over 60 men during the Vietnam War. That stars Samuel L. Jackson and Ed Harris, among many other people. And finally, we've got Downhill, which is about a married couple who are thrown into disarray and forced to reevaluate how they feel about each other after barely escaping an avalanche during a family ski vacation. Stars Will Ferrell and Julia Louis-Dreyfus, two very funny people. And it's based on a foreign film from a couple years ago called Force Majeure, which is excellent. And that movie was much more of a dark comedy. I suspect with Will Ferrell in the cast, this one's maybe going to be a little bit more broad in the humor. But if you ever want to see a really good foreign film that deals with some interesting subjects, interesting themes about husbands and wives, Force Majeure is something I highly recommend.
Force Majeure. And then Downhill is a comedy.
Yes. Force Majeure was too, but it was a very subtle comedy. And, Will Ferrell and Julia Louis-Dreyfus, audiences expect something a little bit bigger from them, a little bit broader. So I haven't seen this yet, but the early word is that it is a little bit more broad or over the top than its source material.
Okay. I'm a little doltish at some of these comedies, and sometimes these you have to tell me it's comedic. Sometimes I don't get them, but it sounds like Downhill. And what will you see today?
Well, the schools are off today, so I'm taking my 11-year-old son to see Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, wow. Fabulous. Okay. Well, that looks like sounds like a perfectly good movie. As you know, you got good voiceover people on it. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. We might finally see a sequel. Boy, when was that? 15 years ago or something?
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids was in 1989, actually. And then there was a sequel, Honey, what was the second one called? Honey, I Blew Up the Kid, which was in the early 90s. So they're going to make a new version called Shrunk. Josh Gad plays the son of the character from the original, and he is a scientist and also shrinks his kids. But what's notable here is that they have gotten Rick Moranis, the original star, to come out of retirement to appear in this movie. Now, Rick Moranis, of course, made so many great films in the 80s, so many great comedies, and then left show business because he had to raise his children. His wife passed away, and he went to raise his kids and walked away from Hollywood and has not been seen in many, many years. And so now he has decided that maybe he wants to come back into show business, and he's signed on to do this sequel to his own movie. So that's really exciting as a Rick Moranis fan.
All right, fabulous. About 30 years ago, the first one. Holy smokes. Mm-hmm. And that would make me 60 or so. Oh, wait, I am. Okay, well, that works out. All right, and Oscar review. You were happy with that? 1917 didn't win, which was kind of your predictive win, but you said if anything could possibly unseat it, it would be Parasite, and there you go.
Yep, and I love both movies. I'm happy for Parasite's win. Thought the show itself was terrible, incredibly boring, slow, a lot of the comedy.
The Oscars.
And
the show itself.
The show, yeah. Okay. Winners were fine. They were great. The show itself was terrible. But what's interesting, last year Green Book won Best Picture, which was as traditional and old-fashioned a movie as you could get. And this year Parasite won, which is hip and cool and kind of innovative and cutting edge. So it's amazing.
And foreign.
Yeah, it's amazing how they went from one extreme to the other here in 2 years. But
what would have made the Oscars interesting?
Get rid of all this stupid banter from the hosts. Get some musical numbers if you're going to do them that actually work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like that. I just thought it was a very slow-moving show. A lot of their big moments in between the awards just did not work for me. I thought they fell flat.
I watched the red carpet, and that is it. That's the only part I'm interested in anymore. Without a host poking fun at Hollywood, that doesn't have any appeal to me.
Yeah, so. Bring back Steve Martin.
Oh, yeah, amen. I'm in. Thank you so much, Movie Mike.
Thank you.
Movie Mike McGranahan, sponsored by the Campus Theater, campustheater.org.